Often it's the box that gets in the way. Open the box. Take the money. Open the box. Take the money. Ring any bells? Or that other box-related quiz or game show, really, with Noel Edmonds, Deal or No Deal, where people are offered money for the box, their box, which might contain £500,000 or £10. And you had to choose to hold on to your box or sell it to the ruthless unseen banker somewhere in the background. I'm sorry if it was your favourite afternoon telly treat, but for accumulated illogicality, superstition and fake compassion for fellow competitors, it was hard to beat. Then there was that old satirical song from Pete Seeger, and they all live in boxes, made out of ticky-tacky, and they all live in boxes, and they all look just the same. That's why the thinkers, the commentators and the pundits encourage us to think outside the box, the restricting, limiting boxes that we all live in, observe the world from within, perhaps without even being aware of it. The challenge comes to break loose from conventional, habitual, lazy patterns of thought and try new concepts, bust loose, explore new territory, new ideas. The harsh truth is we're all in a box. We do need to learn to think outside the box, or else we will stagnate and miss out on enriching dimensions of truth. The way we are church, the way we do church is certainly one box. We hugely underestimate how much being on the inside for a long time, as most of us have been, how that affects our ability to think clearly, still less radically, about the church, to start fresh, to look again, even to be aware of where we are, how we've come to have so much baggage and so many lovely old clothes. We rather like the secure walls, buildings, systems, models, liturgies. New eyes are hard to find on all of that. But unless we consider those new ideas, where do we find the vision? What possibilities do we lose out on? What do we become? Another box we inhabit is to do with style of church, the working model we use to be the church, which is still more often to see it as a place, not a people, a precious institution to be preserved, not a ragtag, untidy, rich and varied family to be loved through all the rough and tumble of our shared pilgrim journey. We more often find an understanding of church and churches that is locked into notions of size, what is viable, what is impressive. Mega churches are admirable. Little churches, not so much in the great scheme of things. Counting heads is what's measured, not sharing, intimacy, depth. It's about numbers, not nearness. And we have a constant struggle to propose and to make real, to defend and promote another model. We meet resistance from within our own thinking as well as from others. Because the truth is, we rather like the box. We like the box that allows us to be comfortable. And after all, it's our church, isn't it? So it should suit us, shouldn't it? Also, part of that being trapped and contained and boxed in is that we are who we are. We're shaped by our national identity with all its characteristics and complexes. Our particular church heritage, what we grew up within, grew up to be, Presbyterian, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Baptist. We find it hard to be generous about traditions different from our own. I was at a choral evensong on Friday and came away reminded as to why I was not an Anglican and almost certainly never will be one. Quite nice to visit, but I wouldn't like to live there. Here we are, 21st century people, locked in a largely 19th century box. Some like it fine, some not so much. Buildings, bureaucracies, methods redolent of another time and another place, speaking less and less to now, to people now. Some are also working from within a box that experiences the church as being a place of personal piety and passivity. We watch from the sidelines, we observe, we reflect, we shake our heads in impotent frustration as the world rolls on, indifferent to our values and blind to our principles. And should we be challenged to think outside of that box and embrace the idea of a church that takes action, chooses action? Who would be up for that? Who would dare? A church where we're invited in the Spirit of God to move beyond personal piety and to feel the power of engagement, experience the passion, make the commitment, take to the streets if need be, make our voice heard, really heard out there on the issues of the day. Pay the price of real discipleship. How aware have we allowed ourselves to be that we understand that we've locked ourselves into the wordy, verbose, noisy church box? What place silence, symbol, experience deep in the soul? Why have that when you can have meetings and minutes and motions? What place meditation, prayer and stillness when you can have erudite sermons, study groups and committees, buzz groups, feedback sessions and discussions? The silent church? I was forced pretty much screaming and kicking out of the box of my West of Scotland Protestant 60s crypto-evangelical bunker mentality into the bright light of the wider church when I was on my travels during my study leave journeys in the footsteps of St. Paul on the Reformation Trail, seeking the heartbeat of Celtic Christianity, and was made to see other ways of doing Christian devotion, other styles of worship coming out of different cultures and histories, just as vibrant, just as valid, just as wonderful as anything I'd grown comfortably accustomed to. It was stirring and salutary and strangely discomforting, and was a blessing beyond telling. Though like pit ponies that used to scream in the bright sunlight when they were brought up from the mines where they'd grown used to working in the dark, so we might find the dazzling light of new experiences hurting us at first. But it is a better place to be in the fresh sunlight of new insights, different thoughts, sucking in the fresh air of new truths. Because there are two crucial strands to all of this. The personal need we have to escape the walls that confine us, encourage us to settle for less of the faith than can be ours to know and enjoy. And the mission of the church, which is damaged and hobbled whenever we let ourselves settle for the easy familiarities of our thinking, our comfortable ways of doing things, our personal preferences shaping the life of the church. What works passably well for us can get in the way of other people's chance to see what it's all about. The tragedy and the danger is that when it comes to the mission and the outreach of the church, often it's the box that gets in the way. It's the box that gets in the way. Blocks and bars, entire generations, acts as a barrier to understanding and response. People turn their back on organized religion because the things we do and the way we do them do not engage them, do not inspire them. They can't see beyond the box inside of which a timid, defensive church huddles. But on that day on the mountaintop, the box lid was lifted. The disciples were gobsmacked, stunned and overwhelmed by the glory of understanding, insight and intimacy with him. Are we ready for what we might find? Ready for the glory, the raw experience, the out-of-our-control religion of awe that captivates the heart and silences the soul before the mystery and the numinous and the otherness of God. The glory of God that speaks in the deep places to us. So the dare comes to us to opt for easy familiarity, the comfortable enslavement of the box we know and love, or to dare to make it a walk of faith, to be there with him in the startling, searching intimacy, open to the possibility of that mountaintop experience. And then when we have understood the full implications of being there, to tell the world that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, the light of the world has come.